And Father, I thank you for all those that came out of the house of God to sit in your, at your table, in your presence, and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I know that you were here during your praise and worship. I know you're still here. I know your angelic host are walking throughout these chairs. And now, Father God, I'm asking you to do me one big favor this morning. Open up the blinded eyes. Let them see into the spirit realm. And open up the earth or worldly ears to their spiritual ears and let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, do not let them leave here today the same as they came, bound up. And Father God, I just thank you in my name of Jesus. Amen. So I had the surgeon search God's heart. What do you want me to teach on? He said, determination. Looking up with determination that you're going to follow him with all your heart. And see, the praise and worship is all about giving your heart over to God. Now determination is all, it's all about being determined to follow God all the days of your life. Amen. And what it's going to take. I was surprised when I looked up what the spiritual meaning of determination was. And so many pastors had written articles and they started out saying, God told me to teach on determination. I thought, wow. But, you know, that is a missing ingredient in the body of Christ. There's not enough determination to follow God with all your heart. There's not enough determination to let go of the world and let the world behind you. And not enough determination to walk forward no matter what the enemy throws your way. Galatians 6:9 says, we must not get tired of doing good. We will receive our harvest of eternal life at the right time. We must not give up. And Psalm 5:3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. So today we will consider looking up. God says, look up, look into my eyes, and we'll do it with determination. Webster defines determination as the act of deciding definitely and firmly, or B, firm or fixed intention to achieve a desired end. Now, why do you come and sit in the house of God if you don't have a determination to follow him the other days of the week? Just coming and sitting in here on Sunday is not going to take you to heaven. You have to be determined every second of every day that you're going to follow God and that the world is behind you and Christ is before you, no matter what comes your way. And that's a difficult thing to do because we know that the enemy is running rampant right now and he's constantly putting situations in our life to cause us to want to stop. But we can't stop. We have to be. See, when you first became born again, you should have determined at that moment that you were going to follow God all the days of your life. You know, when I was first born again and I went to churches, every time they did an altar call, something nudged me to get up there and pray. And I said, God, I'm not even in sin. They're going to think I'm a sinner. They don't even know me. Why do you? And it was, you know, I had to get up. I could not sit in my seat. He said, somebody has to lead my sheep. So in here, you leaders, somebody has to lead his sheep. And if you're a leader, then why not you? It doesn't matter if people think you're a sinner or whatever God's making you do. You know, and every time I get up and go to the altar, everybody else come to the altar too. And so, see, and then they got prayed and they got, you know, they received from God. But somebody had to lead his sheep. And this is what you as a leader are supposed to do. You're supposed to be determined to follow God with all your heart so you can lead the lost sheep. Are you listening? There's too much compromise in the body of Christ. Determination is an important characteristic in life. It is what keeps us going when we'd rather give up. Determination keeps us from quitting a demanding job or giving up on a fragile marriage. Determination helps us endure life's storms, battle enticing temptation, and persevere through terrible trials. That's what determination does. Let's read that again, Nancy. Determination is an important characteristic in life. It is what keeps us going when we'd rather give up. Determination keeps us from quitting a demanding job or giving up on a fragile marriage. Determination helps us endure life's storms, battle enticing temptation, and persevere through terrible trials. That's what determination will do. How many sometimes you just say, God, I just want to sit. I'm tired of this mess. But yet, you know, and then I think, well, God said he would take our mantle and give it to somebody else. So I say, I don't want to sit. And see, because I have that determination in me that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to sit down. And I get stay up and I keep on going. Don't you? See, that's determination. That you don't want anybody to steal your mantle, right? You don't want any man to steal your crown. And so you have to be determined that you're going to follow God 100%, or the devil's going to come in here and steal your crown. God told me one time walking these aisles when I was preaching, don't let any man steal your crown. And that's in the Bible in Revelation. And so see, Satan's always going to be trying to steal your crown. And you don't want to give in to that. None of us can get through life without having determination. All right, so you sinners, you are determined you're going to sin. You young kids, you are determined you're going to be rebellious. So that, you know. So we're turning this determination thing around. You kids are going to be determined you're not going to be rebellious to your parents any longer. And you're going to be determined you're not going to go into sin. See what I'm saying, how this works? If I was your young kids, I would really be scared if I was coming against my children, my parents. Because God spoke to me about somebody in my household and said, they are no longer my child, they are a bastard, because they have transgressed my law. And one of them is, they are not honoring their mother and their father. He was very upset with this person. I forget what the other two things were. So you kids that are not honoring your mother and your father, you could be called a bastard. God could say, and God said, when this person gets in trouble, I'm not going to come to their assistance because they have totally turned their back on me. This is a young person. So you kids, you know, this should be a wake-up call for you that just because you sit in the house of God does not mean that God's going to be there to assist you. God spoke and I didn't. All right, none of us can get through life without having determination. This is certainly true when it comes to the believer living your life for the Lord requires determination. What is amazing to me is that many have resigned from serving God. They have thrown in the towel. They are no longer in the race. They have turned their backs and effectively said no. I don't know the exact number of people God has sent through, you know, the lighthouse doors to be trained to go and minister the gospel, but the majority of those trained have said no. Are you listening? Because God told me when he first had me up to church, he said, I'm going to use you to teach the ministers. And so then I realized 5 years later what he was talking about. And so, see, you're being trained to be a minister of the gospel. You're being trained so God can send you out there a total holy person with determination, perseverance, to go forth and do the mighty works that God would have you to do. Now, there's somebody else in my family who God's always said, they're a mighty tower, they're going to preach my word, they're going to do this, that, and the other. But then yesterday God said, many are called, but few are chosen. This person right now is in a bad place with God, and he just might drop that person. And what God spoke of their life might never come to pass. Are you listening? But when he said, many are called, but few are chosen, I got a sick feeling in a pit of my stomach because I knew this person was in dire trouble. It takes determination to serve the Lord. Rather than people resigning, we need people who are willing to resign. Get back in the will of God. The work we are doing is too important to leave undone. The eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls hang in the balance. This morning, let's look up to the Lord for the determination to serve him and not give up. Galatians 6:9 says, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. See, if we faint not. Now, if we faint, we're not going to reap. You see this? His strength is available, and let us not be weary. God's strength is available to us when we get weary and of well-doing. His strength is there. His anointing is there to reinforce you, to reconstruct you, to go forth and do the works that God's called you to do. This is not an easy job. If you read about Jesus, about the disciples, they did not have an easy way to go. You're going to run into walls all the time. You're going to run into trials and tribulations all the time. But if you don't have a determination that you're going to follow God and be holy, you're going to fall. And see, the body of Christ, it does not want to come to grips with that fact. You cannot sit in your home and do pornography. You cannot sit in your home and cuss and carry on and drink behind closed doors. You can't do that because God can't use you. Are you listening here, guys? I'm totally surprised at what God has shown me about what's going on behind closed doors. You would think the church would be not doing that at this point. There isn't a one of us in here this morning that hasn't gotten tired and weary. Wait till you're in it 30 years, and then you'll know what I'm talking about, all right? But that does not give you the right to get tired and weary. I don't care. Well, God, I've been at this. Your son only did it 3 years. I've been at this 15 at that point. And he said, don't look at my son. That was his job. 3 years, 3 years only. If he wants me to do it 100 years, then I'll do it 100 years, right? Isn't that right? We have to quit complaining. All right, so these two that go up to Wilmington and minister to the drug addicts, they have to be full of the glory of God. They have to have the anointing of God on them, or their devil's going to attack them severely up there. They have to know that they know that they know that God has called them to go there and do this street ministry. If not, they could be killed. So if you know that you know that you know that God has called you to street ministry, then the angels of God are encamped around about you, and the anointing of God is flowing out of you and is touching people's lives, and the angels that are camped around about you are keeping you safe. See, you have to know the whole recipe here. Well, I'm going to go do street ministry. Well, you better see God's face. You know, and you better know who you are in Christ Jesus, and you better go out there prayed up. All right? You have to know where God wants you to go and what he wants you to do. And he wants us out there on the streets. But you have to make sure that you yourself are living a holy life, a sanctified life, that you yourself are strong in the Lord, that when you go out there, the enemy cannot take you out. Are you listening here this morning? All right, I said, there isn't one of us in here this morning that hasn't gotten tired and weary. That is why God kept having me say, don't grow weary in well-doing. Remember, I preached on that forever. It is bad enough to be in a rat race, but sometimes it seems like the rats are winning. Hallelujah. How many is right here right now, right? We live in a society that is moving at such a rapid pace that weariness is a rule and not the exception. Unfortunately, this also applies to our walk with God. Reading our Bibles and praying, give our tithes and offerings, being faithful to the service and helping in ministry, we grow weary. No wonder so many have said no to the Father. You know, we do all that stuff, but yet you grow weary and say, oh God, I just can't do this. Do you not? How many of you wives, you're called to be faithful to a husband who's messed up? You know, up one day and down the next. I can't do this any longer, Lord. I went out of this. No. See, you're growing weary and well-doing. You have to say, God, you're going to have to strengthen me today because I had enough of that mess yesterday. And you're just going to have to come here and strengthen me today. All right, kids. I just told Brother Chris and Catherine, I said, I need a substitute teacher for a couple of days to do Gabriel's homeschooling so I can get some things done, yeah? So I'm growing weary in that right now because I just seem like everything is too much. But it isn't too much because God wouldn't call me to do it if it was too much. Are you understanding this? Come on. We have to be determined. And sometimes he can really try my patience during school, and I have to be determined that he's going to do this thing and that I'm going to be able to see him through it. Determination. My father always taught me, my earthly father always taught me, whatever you place your hands to do, finish it. But he drilled that into my head, and that's what God wants us to do too. We place our hand to plow, finish it, right? See, I'm glad my father drilled that into me when I was younger because I might not have finished this because it gets harder and harder as the enemy comes after us. Now, the word weary here means to be weak or to fail. There's no way in God's green earth I'm going to let the devil say I was weak and I failed. I slapped that man. That thing is silly, right? You know, something rises up inside of me when the devil thinks he's won. You know, I really get furious. Who do you think you are, you uncircumcised Philistine, to get up in my face and make me feel like I can't do this? See? I'm just not a quitter. And see, you have to, and that's determination. When you're not a quitter, that's determination. And you're determined that devil isn't going to win any rounds in my life. Amen? All right, where am I at here? The Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and said, let us not grow weary. Don't be weary, don't be discouraged, and don't be despondent. How can this be possible in the world in which we live? To be weary and to be despondent and discouraged. Because there is a strength that is available. You know, how can we not grow weary? How can we not be despondent? Because God is our strength. He is our source. He is our provider. The devil has no place in us. Because there is a strength that is available. Strength for every task, strength for every trial, strength for every day. All right, so you're angry all the time. I can't help but be angry. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because God will give you strength not to be angry. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I gather rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How many of you, when you read that, you say, Paul says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of the Christ may rest upon you. You say, but God... But God, you don't know how bad this is. And lately God's been saying, daughter, I see the pain. I see how hard it is. But I'm with you. And I'm giving you the strength you need to go on. So if you're in here and you think you're crying out to God, you just don't understand. Yes, he does. He knew you was going to go through this time of weariness. And he made a way of escape. It's the blood. Wrap yourself in the blood. And he'll strengthen you. You can go on. And Psalm 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you believe that? No, don't lie. Because you don't always believe that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things. All, just not 80, all things through Christ which strengthened me. I was counseling a married couple last night. It's a mess. And I said, you can do this. And he said, no, I can't. I said, yes, you can. I said, you just have to keep saying, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. How many of you that have a marriage, you say, I can't do this. Yes, you can, because you're made all of a sudden. Hey, I said, see, these are things you didn't know about this person before you married them. Then once you married them, hey, everything comes out in the open and it's blowing your mind because you didn't know all that was in there. But you can't back out just because you didn't know it was there before you got married. You had them little blinders on, you know, oh, love, you know, and all gushy-gushy, and you didn't see any, they couldn't do anything wrong. But boy, once you say, I do, then it all comes out in the open. It's all laid bare right before you. And you're already messed up in your mind a little bit yourself, and you're not all together. Then you have to deal with all this stuff that you never knew was going to hit you. You can't walk out. You have to stay the course. Right? Then see, this is where your testimony comes in. Now I had to give a little bit of my testimony. And they said, you did all that. I said, if I did all that, then you can do all this. See, your testimony is always there. You can always, God will always pull it up out of you whenever you need it to help somebody. The person went away going like this here, but we're going to do more counseling today, but hopefully that won't go like this no more and her eyeballs roll, all right? You know, see, if one time when God asked me, put me on assignment, you know, and I, oh yeah, okay, God, because I figured whatever God put me on wasn't going to be that bad. And I said, God, why didn't you tell me all this? He said, because you would never take an assignment. He said, this, you have to do this thing one day at a time. That's how bad it is. And how many of you, if you'd known what was going to be down the road, you would not have taken the assignment, right? He would have said, God, not me. Get some other fool out there. Amen. So God said, I just, one day at a time, this is how you're going to walk this thing out. You and I together, we can do it one day at a time. Or you might be up there in the streets of Wilmington, and you say, all of a sudden you have a big rush of whatever, you know. And you say, God, this is too much. No, he sent you there. He give you what you need to go ahead and take care of these people. And if you read right now, the drug stuff is bad. And people are dying right and left from elephant tranquilizers or something they put in this stuff. And God's sending you there maybe to save a soul because tomorrow they might overdose. Do you ever think of that? And it's not nice, it's bad. But, you know, God knows you have it in you or he wouldn't have sent you there. All right. Where am I at here? Okay, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Our service is expected in well-doing, all right? Well-doing or doing well. God has called us to well-doing, not doing well. Anybody can do something well, but can you stay the course? Most of us put our efforts into doing well. God is not impressed with fine cars, nice homes, or designer clothes. He's not impressed with our buildings or our budget. The Lord lets us know what he is interested in. Note the context in Galatians chapter 6. First of all, restoring the fallen in verse 1. Sharing burdens, verse 2. Meeting the needs of God's servants, verse 6. Ministering to others in verse 10. Well-doing isn't just activity, but it is that which is worthy. We can be busy at the wrong things. As believers, we must constantly check our focus and make sure it is where it needs to be. As believers, we must constantly check our focus and make sure it is where it needs to be. We are not saved by good works, but the lives of those who are saved are expected to be characterized by good works. You and I are supposed to be characterized by the good works that we do. All right? You know, like yesterday I was in my bedroom and all of a sudden all this cussing and fighting and carrying on the hallway. And I went out and said, whoa, what's going on here? We don't do this in this house. And I had to stay calm and cool and collective and get it all settled out. But see, so I have to be characterized by good works. In other words, love, patience, long-suffering, you know, all the endurance and all that. I have to be characterized by that. I can't say, well, I'm a child of God and I love God. And then when something like that happens and these two people are out of control, then I get out of control too. What am I showing them? World. So I have to stay calm as I grit my teeth. and trying to talk over the screams. In love. You see what I'm saying? You are constantly going to be tested and tried to see if you're really a true child of God. You're going to constantly be tried and tested to see if you are determined to serve God no matter where God places you. You never think of living in hell in your own home. But if God places you there, then what are you going to do? Are you going to be determined to go and follow God and shed love abroad, or are you going to join the world and talk like they do? I said, no, let's tie the tongues here. We don't talk like that in my house. I'm sorry. Next word. I said, you said we don't do that. You know, I had to work through all that before I could talk. Are you understanding this? So I had to be loving, kind, patient when I wouldn't reach up and slap them. You know what I'm saying? Come on. After all, you're in my home, you don't act like that. All right, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. How many of you have ever felt like your light has gone out? Somebody pulled that little cord. Amen. And you can't, and you just, all you can do to be what God's calling you for to do. All right, our purpose is to glorify God. When we lose sight of that, That is when we get discouraged. That is when we become weary in our walk with God. Repeat, our purpose is to glorify God. If I had went out there screaming and yelling and cussing the way they were, you know, I wouldn't have been glorifying God. So our purpose is to glorify God. And when we lose sight of that, that is when we get discouraged. That is when we become weary in our walk with God. And see, I had to explain to the young man, you are being fought like this because of the calling of God on your life. And because this young man doesn't understand all this stuff, he just stood there looking at me with her eyeballs rolling. So the reason why Satan comes against you the way he does, let's just say in your marriage, it's because of the great calling that's on your life as your, you know, as a married couple. The devil's going to come in there in any way he can to try to discourage you and to cause you to quit. And if you just hold on a little bit longer, it's going to be worth it all. But you can stop right now if you want and miss it all too. You've already fought this long and held on this long. What's another month? Amen. I put a word the other day about something about the glory wind or something like that. And after I did that, then I went through and cleaned out my computer. And Cindy Jacobs had given a word the day before, just about word for word, what God gave me the day after. So the wind of God's glory, this was the wind of God, a tidal wave of the wind of God's glory. It was one of the words put in there, is coming. And I got all excited because I said, God, everything I'm reading, everybody's saying the glory's going to drop. The glory's going to drop. I've been saying that for 10 or so years. It's finally here. See, I had to be determined. And God told me the first time I said it, do not grow weary in saying this because it is coming. And so every time I say the glory's coming, I would say, I hope it does to myself. But see, God already put it in my heart. Don't grow weary in saying that. So I had to determine, I was going to say, sometimes I don't even want, didn't even want to say it, but I had to say it because I wanted, the devil had to hear it. Are you listening? It's been a long road saying the glory's coming, but the glory drop is going to be here. It's going to be suddenly. It's going to take, I'm hearing God say it's going to take a lot of people by surprise. All right. Real success is anticipated, for in due season we shall reap. Real success is already anticipated because the word of God said, in due season we shall reap. In due season, the glory is going to fall. In due season, your husband's going to be everything God said he's going to be. In due season, your wife's going to quit complaining all the time because God said she's going to be a perfect mate. Are you seeing this? We just have to work through the due, you know, the time till we get to the due season. But because we're not determined to have a good marriage, we're not determined to walk in the path that God would have us to walk in, we grow weary and we quit. And God's saying we stumble and we fall. All right, so real success is anticipated, for the word of God says, for in due season we shall reap. We look for instant gratification. We want what we want, and we want it now. We live life in the express lane. Microwave dinners, instant potatoes, stovetop stuffing, consecrated orange juice, drive-through windows, 30-minute pizza delivery, 1-hour photo development, high-speed internet, cell phones, text message, 10-minute oil changes, and more and more and more. Right? I said to my husband, the other husband, you know, now, look, you said at 6 o'clock you was going to fix dinner. It's now 10 o'clock. I'm tired of eating it late at night. So he didn't do nothing. See, I grew weary. I fell in before my due season, right? All right. We have to know that God doesn't operate on our time schedule. As a matter of fact, time is meaningless to him. One day equals 1,000 years. 1,000 years equals one day. How true that is. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. God is eternal. Just around the corner. What corner, God? The light at the end of the tunnel. I can't even see the end of the tunnel, let alone the light. How many of you going? Been there, right? Because you're year after year after year after year. No end of tunnel. What corner? Which corner? Keep going around every corner. All right, with God, all things are in season. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, I read that scripture over again. I thought, this is really neat. We should read that over and over again. God promises a harvest, we shall reap. We decide what the harvest will be by what we sow. God promised, all right, so God said your husband's going to be, your husband might be the lowest skunk in the world, but God said he's going to be a mighty tower. He's going to preach the gospel. And so we decide what harvest will be by what we sow. Now we can either believe and trust God after 5 years of that, or we can just say, this is never going to happen, so we won't ever reap this man being a mighty man of God. You see this? Galatians 6:7-8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And this is why I really believe that God had to, I was really excited about it with the praise and worship, and I knew what I was going to be teaching because in the way God had you blow the shofar over us, you know, and God has blown all that junk out of us. Where am I here? The law of God's harvest is simple. We reap what we sow. We will reap more than we sow. We will reap after we sow. We can grow weary if we do not keep this truth in mind. Pastor J.C. Maddox labored faithfully for many years in Portland, Oregon. He saw very little fruit. The church constantly struggled numerically and financially. But one day God brought a young couple into Victory Baptist Church. They were rough around the edges. They were newborn believers. They were saved from a life of drugs and alcohol. But God, I read this. I thought, that sounds like the Lighthouse, right? But God began to work, and then he reached down his hand and called this young man to serve him with his life in ministry. 33 years ago, because of the faithfulness of Pastor Maddox, this young man surrendered his life to serve God in due season. You might have just one soul that God has for you to save. One. I say that because I remember this old man when he died, and he said, before he died, he said, I only saved one soul. And God said, that's all that I had assigned to you, was that one soul. But you did your job. Amen? Come on. Real success will come because God promised it would. Not because you said it would, but because God promised it would. Are you tired? Don't quit. Feeling weary? Keep focused. I'm talking to myself. Harvest time is coming. Are you tired? Don't quit. You know, are you tired of talking and talking and talking to your kids? It doesn't even go in here, it goes over top of their head. Well, don't quit. Just keep planting that seed and just keep watering that seed. It's up to them what they sow from that seed that you planted in them. It's not up to you. It's up to them. Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Look up with determination. Some need to determine to get saved, right in this church. Some are sitting here not saved. Some need to determine to be obedient to God in all areas of their life. Some need to determine to join with us in this good work. In other words, we need workers in here. Some need to determine to re-sign with God and get busy serving him again. Philippians 3:12-21. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has already also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. God's been telling us to do that. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. This is where we're supposed to be. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Not everybody is going to be in your level, Barbara. God just told me to tell you that. And we need to come to grips with that. God called you to be a leader. You should be above them. you know, in whatever God's telling you to do, because you're supposed to lead them and train them, right? Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. In other words, walk, look at the fruit is what the scripture's saying. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Not everybody sitting in the house of God is going to go to heaven. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you don't do what other people are doing. Your citizenship is in heaven. So you have to walk accordingly. You cannot do what the world does. And wives, some of us were called to suffer so we can bring that little man to the forefront. And other wives, you say, boy, they have the best husband in the world, at least on the outward, it looks like that. And, you know, they're just happy, happy, happy. But their husband isn't called to do what your husband's called to do. And so, therefore, the devil's fighting your husband very, very strong. And he's even trying to get you to look through his eyes, you know, the devil's eyes, and see your husband as the devil sees him and not see him as God has shown you or told you. Amen. Sometimes I think God washed my glasses really clean. Amen. So I can see what you see. Right? It could be the vice versa. It could be, you know, a husband being there for a wife. All right. Where am I at? Verse 21. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things himself? In other words, God can transform us into glory. Life is a challenge. It is so challenging that it requires a great deal of discipline and determination. Keep your mind on your goal. Keep your mind off the past. Keep your mind off the difficulties. Keep your mind off yourself. Let's read that again. Life is a challenge. It is so challenging that it requires a great deal of discipline and determination. Keep your mind on your goal. Whatever God's told you he wants you to do, keep your mind on that. Keep your mind off the past. Keep your mind off the difficulties. Keep your mind off yourself. Like they kept saying last night, well, I just can't deal with all this. I, you know. Come on. Don't grow weary. Don't give up and don't be complacent. Right now, the body of Christ is doing that. And right now, many are falling. The lighthouse is not going to fall. You are growing, and you're getting stronger each and every day. Whether you see or not, you're getting stronger each and every day, and you are going toward that goal that God has placed in front of you. We hear the word. The Spirit of God is here. We are not going to stumble and fall. We are going to do the great mighty works that God has called us forth to do. God told me years ago to put that sign up. What is it? Refuge in the Storm. And then I read just a couple of years ago that God has placed houses that are refuges for the people to go into in the storm. But when he told me to do that, it didn't make no sense to me whatsoever. Why would I put a sign like that up in my door? And he didn't explain it. He said, just put the sign there. Now I know the storms are coming. And people are going to have some place to run into where the Spirit of God is moving. And we just have to be one of those churches. And see, each one of you make up the church individually, so that anointing is going to be in you. And then collectively, God can do great and mighty works. Do you understand this? So don't give up. Don't quit. Keep striving. Keep going forward. Zephaniah 3:8, therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger, all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. God's saying, wait on him. Whatever he's called you to do, whatever he's promised you, it's going to come to pass. And he's going to destroy your enemies. So quit trying to vindicate yourself. You're spending too much time saying, oh, woe is me. They have to know that God's talking to me. Forget about all that junk. God has spoken to you. He's told you exactly what he wants you to do. Then you need to move forward. And, you know, you say, well, God, you said you would vindicate me. And, you know, I told God, I don't care if you ever vindicate me here on this earth. I really don't. Because I'm not here to be vindicated. I'm not here for people to know that I've been sent here by God. I'm here to do a work. Period. And, you know, if God never vindicates me, I really don't care. I'm having a good time with the Father. And I know I'm in His perfect will. I know I'm doing what He wants me to do. And so, therefore, I'm happy. See, this is why people don't have happiness. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know they're in the perfect will of the Father. And as I was sitting the other day just going over all this, God showed me, some of you, you're growing weary because you want to be out there doing what God told you to do. You want to be doing it now. But you're still not ready for it yet. But the day you're ready, he'll catapult you right out there. And if you're not careful, you're going to lose out on God because you're growing weary to the place where you're just getting very complacent and you're just wanting to sit back and do nothing. Come on. This is what God showed me, and He gave me names, and I'm not going to tell you who you are. You already know yourself who you are. And God said, the minute they get upset with me, that's the minute they're starting backwards. He said, because they're not fighting you, they're fighting the God in you, that God is trying to get them to grow in me and become holy and you know, impure. He said, and when they get upset with you, they're getting upset with me that's inside of you. So when people get upset with you, they're not really getting upset with you. They're getting upset with the God in you. And that God in you is convicting them of their sins. And they're blaming you. Just get out of the sin. If the shoe fits, you know, come on. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well, you can do whatever you want to do, but I know our big church is coming. I know God is going to use this little church with great signs, wonders, and miracles. And I know these last 15 years that I wish never existed was for a purpose, you know. And all the junk, you know, that I had to go through, wade through all this mess so I would know what the world was really like. And I wished I didn't know what the world was really like. But you have to live in the world, but not be of the world, right? All right, if you have a spouse that's messed up and all of a sudden you see all of his flaws, oh, dear God, I didn't know all that was in there. Well, keep on walking because you don't know what's in you either. You know, that God hasn't brought out yet, right? You know, and sometimes I don't even want to hear about deliverance when I hear all the things that's going on and God shows me too. I think, dear Lord, what are we? Really? I'm glad I'm a spirit being, aren't you? Come on. Are you glad you're a spirit being? Being used by God the Father to do a great mighty works for the kingdom of God. And your light's not going to go out. God said, we need to have our lights like a torch because this world is dark and it's gloomy. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your message on determination. I thank you, Father God, that we do have to be totally and completely determined or we're not going to make it. Now, Father God, for those who are in here this morning that they're wishy-washy yet in their walk with you. And Father God, I'm asking that you drop a special anointing upon them. Revive them once again. And Father God, those who are growing weary, drop an anointing of refreshing upon them right now. That they will leave here refreshed, encouraged, and renewed in you and in their walk with you and in their assignment. And they will have enough strength to go forth and do the mighty works. And Father, we just thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Father, we thank you. I just wait in your presence right now, Lord. We just thank you right now. We thank you. We praise you. There is a new refreshing coming this day. There is a new dawning. But I tell you this, some of you, if you don't get your minds off of the things of this world, and the circumstances around about you, you're not going to see that new day dawn. You will see just nothing but total darkness. You will see that great gnashing of teeth. But I say unto you in here today who have determined your heart of hearts years ago, that when you said yes to me, that you would not back down, no matter what you had to go through. I'm here to tell you this morning that you're in for one of the greatest surprises of your life. you're in for one of the greatest walks with me that you've ever had in your life. And you and I, we are going to do great and wonderful things together. Multitudes upon multitudes will be brought into the kingdom because of your walk with me. Now stay focused. Stay firm and stay secure. Never look to the right nor to the left because you don't have time for that anymore. The works that we have to do is a mighty works. Has to be done quickly because I surely am coming after my sheep. I am coming because it is the end of the ages, and I am securing my sheep in my kingdom, and you will know my voice like you've never known it before. For the great I Am has stepped on the scene, and the great I Am will accomplish all that I need to accomplish through you. Through you. I just want you guys, you can come to the altar with if you want, but what I see is a golden oil being poured down over you. And this golden oil is your anointing to go forth and to destroy the enemy on all sides. And God's saying first he's going to start in your homes. You're going to be the carrier of this anointing, this golden oil anointing. And even in your home, the anointing will be so strong that sin will not be able to prevail. And even in your homes, and you're going to see the enemy just leap out of the people that's in your homes. And in your workplaces, as you walk through your workplaces, this golden oil with the anointing on it is just going to overflow into the people that you meet. And some are going to fall in the spirit. Some will be screaming. They'll be changed. They're going to have manifestation. They're going to see visions of Jesus and angelic hosts. It's all because of this golden oil that God is dropping on you right now. Just God's saying he's giving you this oil now. When you leave here, he wants you to shed it abroad. Wherever you go, you're going to have to be secure in him and know that you are carrying that golden oil that's going to destroy the yokes of the enemy off other people's lives. Come on, it's here. It's here. God's here, and he's flowing. He's putting that golden oil on you. Come on, just receive it. It's not laborious. Just receive it. Just receive it. I'm having a hard time standing here right now. Just receive that golden oil. I see it. It's golden. It's like honey. It's like thick honey being poured over you. And you're going to feel this. You're going to be changed. When you get up all this for you, you're not going to be the same. You're going to know that you know that God has done something different in your life.